welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for this privilege and honor of being called a child of God, first and foremost, Lord, being a son in your house and knowing that I have an Abba Father who holds not just my destiny in his hands, but everyone who calls on your name. You hold in your hand. You hold our destinies. You hold our futures. You hold every plan that we think we are busy making, Lord. Apart from you, Lord, they come to nothing, Lord. But every plan, Lord, that is received out of your hand, Lord, every thought, every bit of understanding and wisdom that we seek to have, Lord, that comes from you, Lord, we know leads us into eternity, gives us peace, gives us rest, gives us a stable footing to stand on, Lord. So I just consecrate this word to you this morning and say, have your way, Lord, in our hearts. Come speak to us, Lord. Lord, the wisdom of man, which is foolishness, Lord, may it count for nothing this morning, Lord, because we look for your wisdom, we look for your words, and we look for your enlightenment, Lord. And we just thank you, Jesus Christ, for just this space that is filled with your presence and your fragrance, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So, obviously, most of you guys would expect what I'm going to preach on, hence, because of the occasion today, but this has been on my heart for quite a while, this specific scripture, and literally the beginning of the year, January, every single one of us without fail, we look ahead to the year and we start doing our sums. I know I've already, even before the year started, I already started thinking about, okay, besides the fact that we're moving and we're starting this new season in our life, by default, you're like, whether we were moving or not moving, okay, what are we going to do this year? First of all, our default state is also, what do we need to do this year to make sure we are okay through the year? 2016 works out well for us financially. Some of you have already even probably planned when your holidays are going to be this year. When are you going to take the break? And what are you going to do in between those breaks? Okay, some of you have goals that you've set out, obviously, for the end, right till your retirement. You've all worked that out, and each year just plays a part in reaching that retirement or reaching whatever that goal is. Okay, so you've laid out these milestones, and this year, many of you, and myself included, I've got milestones that I've laid out. Okay, this is what I'm aiming for. Okay, this is what I need to do to get there, and you've got these points to almost tick to say whether it's been a success. And achieving and reaching those milestones, there's a sense of, okay, when I get to that milestone, I can rest. When I get to that point, I can take a bit of a break. But up to that point, I'm going to have to graft. I'm going to have to graft. I'm going to have to put in the hours. I'm going to have to work hard. I'm going to have to do everything I need to do so that that is a success. So all I hope is placed in finding, getting to that point of rest. And I think I shared this at the beginning of last year. Every year, we start with that same process. Whether the previous year was a success or not, whether the previous year worked out like we planned, we start the year again fresh in that same way. And we look ahead, okay, last year I didn't do this and that didn't work out well, or this happened, so I'm going to make provision for that, the stock market struggling a bit, or this growth, or lack of growth in this area, or, moving. So I'm going to make provision. So we just adjust a little bit and then we carry on. But we do that every year. And every year there are things that let us down. There are these things that fail. And these things ultimately that cause stress. Example is last night we were at a wedding, so got home pretty late, not because we partied all night, but because it was quite far away. When you're like, what is he doing going out the night before he's supposed to preach? And, God talks about walking in the spirit, he doesn't mean that spirit. No, that's not it. It was in Wolseley, so it was far away. So we did leave. But one of the guys there, I don't even know, Corky, and Yohani, some of you might know them. But anyway, they're farming somewhere up there where people farm. And they haven't had rain for ages. As we know, it's a big issue in South Africa. Obviously, they're getting rain up north. But down here in the good old Western Cape, we still haven't got rain, in case you haven't noticed. And it's still very hot. So chatting to him, and they are literally at the end. They haven't felt the drought as much because they've had a natural water spring from the mountain. So it's been good. but now he's saying it's starting to dry our bills up. And literally, he said 2014, they actually bought the neighbor's farm also. Obviously not expecting that this drought is going to come and be there. So they'd made their plans, and he's an excellent farmer from what I understand, a good manager. He's raised up people underneath him, also middle management. He was the sole guy, and he's raised up. So he's done everything he possibly can to be a good steward of what he has, to be excellent in what he has, to produce fruit, to produce a harvest, to produce that which obviously ultimately he's working towards, to provide for his family. They've got two little ones also now, but now it's come to the point. All those plans have come to naught because it just hasn't rained. Something as simple as it just not raining has thrown a spanner in every plan he's made. So immediately the thought starts coming, okay, what does he now have to do? Shift this around, do that, cut here, sell that, because he's got two children he's going to provide for. He's got laborers on the farm who's working there, and he says many of them don't grasp how serious this is because he takes the brunt of it, and by the time it reaches them, you know, he's worked out a plan and he's made a solution. So chatting to him, not obviously him knowing what I want to share on this morning, just struck me again about how our plans come to naught. How do we approach this? I said before, now you've got this hope and you placed your hope in achieving this goal, and when you get there, you know you're going to find some peace. But like I said in one of my previous messages, that which you hope for, you cannot hope in. Now, it's just the mere fact that you're hoping for a good harvest of your labor. You cannot put all your hope in that. There needs to be a process leading up to that. So there's a distinction for that between that which you hope for and that which you hope in. There's a big distinction, and very often we put all our eggs into one basket. If only I get that car, I can get to work better, okay? But you're not going to get that car putting your hope in that car. There needs to come a process before this. You need to save. You need to do all your sums. Okay, so that thing that you continue to hope in, okay, that thing that takes you to that point, ultimately to hold on to that thing, to stay grasping and whatever you need to do to continue to hope in that thing, ultimately that is faith. That is what faith is. It's that process of trying to hold on to this train of life that is moving in a direction. You're just hoping you'll get off at the correct stop. Yeah? Your hope is that you'll get off at that stop and everything will be there that you've dreamed and hoped for. It'll give you that rest, it'll give you that peace. Okay? So, to continue to hope in these things, that's ultimately the faith. That's the faith portion that Scripture talks about. And there's two scriptures that talk specifically, almost give a definition of faith. Okay, Hebrews 11:1, and two scriptures we use very often. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And for me, this is a very broad, general description of what faith is. Okay, it's that thing. This is the legwork. This isn't the end goal. This isn't the ultimate prize. This is the legwork. So when we talk about faith there, we're talking about everything that I'm holding on to. This is where the rubber starts hitting the road. It's an expression. It's not just hope is out there. You cannot express what that hope is, what that looks like. It hasn't materialized yet. Faith is those active steps you're taking to hold on, to continue this journey so that you eventually attain that hope. That's what this faith is. And there's evidence, obviously, to go along with it. The way you act, the decisions you make, you know, getting excited about certain things, though, there's evidence to it. There's evidence to this faith. There's an expression of it. It's something that is visible and people can see. Hey, people can see it in you, but the faith is there. It's the substance of the things hopeful. So, I mean, you can describe your perfect picture. In fact, most of you probably wouldn't be able to describe what is that thing that would give you've done it. You know, for most grandparents, they'll say, you know, the fact that I've got grandchildren. And they, you know, they reasonably well behaved. They're alive. Okay, I've made it. I've done it. Okay, but the substance of things hopeful, that even leading to those grandchildren, leading to that next legacy that you've left behind, there were some active steps you took throughout your whole life to get to that. There's certain things you need to do, and we won't go in detail. I think there's some kids here still. But there's things you need to do. There's work you need to do before that legacy is realized. Okay, so that's broadly speaking, that's what faith is. It's those steps, the road leading to the ultimate goal. Okay, and this is then what I believe is the biblical faith that we need to aspire to, the godly faith. This is now, for me, the description of that. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And this is actually the crux of what I want to talk about today, especially looking ahead to 2016. And I don't need to remind you or tell you that the world, not just the country, the world is slowly circling that toilet. It is going down. You can ask anybody who's in business, who's in finance. You can ask Jan, you know, and a couple of other guys who are in the housing also. It's getting harder and harder. And all the plans of men are coming to nothing in the end. The plans of men mean nothing. It's just running around in a circle, and eventually it's gone. Okay, so godly faith, biblical faith, okay, is literally, it's that childlike faith, which I'm going to talk about later, is the fact that my faith is this. Everything I do, everything I look forward to, I'm in contact. I'm holding back. I've got my hand on the Father's hand. I realize, I get to that faith, that my faith is not based in what I can do in my plans. My faith is based directly on the fact that I'm holding on to him and he's directing my footsteps. And I'm going to play off two different sides of children here as we look for. Children have amazing faith. But there's also some things that we shouldn't be holding on to. Scripture says we need to be childlike. We need to be like children to enter into the kingdom. But then there's parts also where it says you need to let go of your childish ways. You know, when I was a child, I understood as a child, I spoke as a child, all those things, but you need to let go of that now. So there's these two things. So which is it? You know, and that childlike faith, I've got now a 4-year-old and a 18-month girl, both girls. And you can see just the different phases as there's certain things which are so beautiful, you know, and there's certain things you're just like, oh, Lord, that sinful nature, oh, you know. But there's certain things as they grow up, they're going to have to know how to let go of more of the one, but still maintain the other. For example, the 18-month, she's very brave. She will go and do things and take chances, but she will always look back to see where I am. She will, by default, even though she's got a bit more of a slightly rebellious risk-taker side to her, she will always look for my approval. Is this okay? Is this safe? Doesn't mean she wouldn't test the water, but there's always that part of her that looks back to be like, okay, where am I? You know, and then the older one, there's that part of her that hopefully she'll grow out soon. You know, is she, it's just everything is mine. You know, I will do it. But there's a certain part that you will do, but there's a certain place where you need to let me come alongside you and help you do it. It'll help you. You won't get as frustrated. You won't get as tired, but you'll reach that goal and you'll learn through it. But there's still that part, even though she's older, she can walk now. She doesn't need me to hold her hand when she's running or catch her every time she runs because she's pretty stable on her feet. There's still that part of, where's daddy? Daddy, is this okay? I've got all the answers, but is it okay with you? So there's these two contrasting sides that when you look at, we need to be like children. One we need to let go of, grow out of, and one we need to hold on to. If we lose that other part, then we might as well not call ourselves sons of God. Okay, so that was just the introduction, but I will speed it up now. I've only got 3 pages here, okay? So shouldn't be too long. Okay, so Hebrews 11:6. Looking back, where is the Father? I cannot please him. I cannot achieve. I cannot get. I cannot receive unless I realize that he is. That he is, he is stable, he is there, he's the Father, he's all encapsulating. I think that's the word. All covering. His hand covers me, his hand directs me. If I understand that, those things that I aspire for and that I look for, I will achieve them. That reward will be there. And why? Because that reward will be aligned with what he wants to give me, what he knows I need, not necessarily what I want. And when we achieve that, when we get it, we will find what we're looking for. Even if starting out, when we started out all childish, it maybe wasn't what we thought it would be. But when we get there, we're like, oh, okay, this is what it's meant to look like. Okay, Machle and myself have been, you know, working for the church now, working for God, full time, everything, sleeping, eating, drinking, ministry. I'm 5.5 years now. Machle's 9 years. So it's been a long time. And it's looking back now. I'm like, Lord, thank you. I wanted to plant a church 3 years back, and I would have royally stuffed it up if I did. But God knew. And by God's grace, He helped me to always look back to see where He is. I'm throwing my tantrum, but then I'm looking. How's He responding? Okay, He doesn't like that. Okay, stop crying. Stop throwing a tantrum. Take His hand, stand up, and carry on walking. And it wasn't easy, and there were many tantrums thrown, but it was always looking back. Like Henry said, you know, I didn't complain much. No, I just complained, you know, like my wife would, in a pillow, in a room, and being like, aah! And then I would walk out and be like, okay, let's go on. Okay? But it's because I always knew, look back. Okay, God, You've got timing. You know, You know what You're doing. I'm irritated. I'm frustrated. But I know You, Lord, You're big enough to handle it, but I'm putting it at Your feet. All my irritation, all my frustrations. Okay, and then this is actually where I want to get to. Matthew 11. Okay, over December, obviously spending some time in the Word, this really struck me again. Obviously the way I approach God, the way I look at God, and the things, everything I know and have experienced and God has revealed to me is not because I'm amazing. It's not because of anything that I do or can achieve or can say or, you know, it doesn't matter how good my jokes are. God doesn't go like, okay, that was a good one, Kurt. Okay, yeah, I'll give you a little bit of information about the kingdom. Yeah, it's got nothing to do with that. This for me holds a key. And funny enough, just before this, read Matthew 10. What does it mean to be a disciple? Before you even get to this part, before you even get to the rewards, what does it mean to be a disciple? I encourage you to go read that. It's not as coochie-feely as many people would like to think. But Matthew 11:25, just read it with me and then I will just highlight and summarize some points for us. Verse 25, at that time Jesus declared, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was Your gracious will. All things have been handed over to Me by My Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Okay, so many of us have read that over and over. But in the context of this childlike faith that I'm talking about, if you start right at the beginning of this, verse 25. It starts and it says, thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things. Okay, what are these things? What are these things that are hidden from some and revealed to others? Okay? These things. If you read, obviously, before that, best is always to read before and a little bit after, you'll get a good idea. But these things is literally all those cues and little tidbits, all the drawing cards that God puts in front of us constantly, explaining and opening up the kingdom to us. All these things are being revealed constantly. These things of, this is what the kingdom is. This is how you enter the kingdom. This is what the kingdom sounds like, feels like, tastes like. This is how it operates. This is what makes the kingdom real in the world. Do you see it? Do you respond to it? That's the biggest thing. Many of you have seen it, even here, and you're like, yes, you know, I do all the right stuff. I go to church regularly. But do you see the kingdom? Do you see those cues? Where the Holy Spirit is, I believe that's where the kingdom is. Where the Holy Spirit is operating, that's where the kingdom is. Remember, God is spirit. To interact with Him, we need to interact with Him in spirit. So you can be in all the right places, but you still might not be able to see. And that's what Jesus is addressing here. Obviously, a whole lot of Pharisees talking about a specific, He's saying, this generation. Talking to certain towns where He's been and He's shared and He's revealed and He's done mighty works and miracles, but they don't want to respond. Why don't they want to respond? He says, He's hidden them from the wise and understanding. And isn't us, aren't we very much wise and understanding when we make all our plans apart from God? Later on, when things go wrong, we run to God. We're like, Lord, but this didn't work. Why? I did all my sums. I did all my calculations. Why isn't this working? Wise and understanding. We do not understand. God spoke to us. We made our plans and God showed it and revealed to us. No, but we knew better. And this is where I come to being wise and understanding in this context. Not wise and understanding according to the wisdom of heaven. Wise and understanding according to our means and our abilities. That wisdom and understanding in God's eyes is childishness. That is what it means to be childish. I have it all figured out. And this is the part of our children that many of you have seen, those who've had children and raised children. There's this part of them where they are so wise and understanding. It doesn't matter what you tell them. I mean, our one's 4 years old and she's already acting like a teenager. I pray that she'll be so anointed and saved by the time she's a teenager, we wouldn't have to go through it again. But she knows everything. Ja, maar papa, ek het gesê mos. Papa, jy moet dit doen. Papa, daddy, I told you. Daddy, mommy told. I'm like, oh, okay, daddy's a moron. Stop telling daddy. But isn't that how we go to God? But Lord, I did everything right. Why didn't you do your part? Lord, I went to church every Sunday, and then I made my plans with you. I was a good steward of my finances. Why is it that we're sitting in this position now? Lord. You didn't do your part, indirectly is what we're saying. I did my part. You didn't do your part. Childish. You know, and here's the thing. When we are so childish, it doesn't just affect our relationship with God. It starts that faith part, being the substance, the expression of that which we hope for. When we are operating in this world, whether you be saved or unsaved, whether you have a relationship with Jesus or not, when you operate in that childish space, you cannot help but be in conflict with people. It's like arguments follow you wherever you go. Because you filter everything, whether it be other people's opinions, or the news, or Zuma, or Malema, whoever it is, it's filtered through your view of the way things should be. Even if it isn't like that, you will argue until things change to suit you and fit you. I will not do that because it doesn't suit me. You might not say it in that many words. You might not even think as such, but I'm telling you that's what it is. Nothing will work and be good enough for a childish individual because they themselves are changing like the wind. One day something works, the next day something doesn't work. One day someone does something that's okay because they did it the way they wanted them to do it. The next time that person does it the same way, but you know what? My mood has changed. So now I'm going to argue with you because you didn't figure out that my mood has changed. That's what childish people are like. And that's why childish people can never get things from God. There's a constant reoccurrence of just stress. Why is that stress? Is you can only hold up the world for so long before your shoulders get tired. But we're there, Atlas. Even Atlas took a break. He gave it to Hercules and said, Hercules, you hold it for a while, and then I'll come back later. Okay? But that's what it means to be childish. For me, that's what childish faith is like. Faith in myself and my understanding and ability. Okay? You've revealed it from the wise ones, and you've revealed it to little children. Okay, now this is the other side, the childlikeness. So in other words, you're not a child. You're not throwing tantrums. You're not doing all these things, but there's a part of you that is very childlike. That love believes all things, hopes all things. That's that childlikeness. My daughters, that childlikeness in them is so beautiful. They are always happy to see me. I could have given one a hiding. 10 minutes later, she comes out, says sorry, and she's got the biggest smile, kiss, hugs, and then she's got a story of 20 minutes long that she wants to tell me about something happened. You know, it's that childlikeness. They don't mind chastising because they know I love them. They know I'd give my life for them. I haven't done it yet. And you just think Jesus has. God has. He loves us so much, and you've heard this so many times, and it's a cliche because it's so unbelievably true. And if you haven't grasped that, I was weeping, snot and trane, during Brian's set, during some of the songs, because it just struck me again of just the realness of his sacrifice. That I'm standing here today because of his sacrifice. Not because I was like, okay, Lord, I'm tired of doing all these things at varsity. Woo, it was fun. Okay, let's move on. There was nothing in me that wanted that. But God wanted me. God wants you. God wants you to walk into that because they can throw off the weight of the world. All your mistakes, all those things you're carrying, that backpack, those of you who've read, what's it, Pilgrim's Progress, that backpack we carry with all our mistakes and all the things we've done wrong, he wants us to take that off. Okay? So, little children, always looking back, always realizing that, you know, God, you are in control. I cannot take a step forward or a step back or to the side without you. I cannot walk. My legs are shaky like a child has just learned to walk. And for the rest of my life, it will be shaky. So I need a hold in your hand for the rest of my life. That's childlike faith. I cannot make a decision or a plan without consulting with you first. Without receiving heavenly wisdom and letting go of this earthly, fleshly, demonic wisdom. Okay, and then it goes, Jesus goes on and he says, he has this knowledge, this personal relationship of the Father, of the eternal, of that which was in the beginning and will be in the end and is now. He has this personal relationship and understanding of this God, this Father. And he wants us to find that rest in the Father. He says he reveals it. He knows the Father. And everybody he reveals it to will know this also. And who does he reveal it to? And I'm going to speed up now. My time's almost running out. Who does he reveal it to? Childlikeness, babes. For the kingdom belongs to such as these, children. You must be born again. You must become an infant again and look at the world through new eyes and see the Father with new eyes, childlike eyes. Because those are the ones he wants to reveal the Father. Those are the ones those are the only ones who can see the Father. Those are the only ones who can see eternity. So when we look ahead at the year, are we looking through childlike eyes and being like, Lord, I see you. I want to run to you. I want to fall at your feet because I'm stumbling all the time, but I know you're going to pick me up. Those are the ones he reveals it to. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Saving grace. Saving grace he gives to the humble. Humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself. Okay, and I'm going to conclude quickly with this. And humble yourself before the Lord, because from that, what flows out of that is, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Okay, and the yoke is part of work. Taking that yoke is not a chair, it's not a lazy boy. Okay, a yoke is that thing that they put on the ox's necks and then they plow the fields. So he's not saying sit and do nothing. He's saying be effective. Take on my yoke. Let go of yours. Let go of the world's. Let go of everything the world imposes on you. Take on my yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from my humility, my self-sacrifice, my love. This is how you know what love is. Because he died and he gave his life for us. When we were sinners, when we weren't looking for him, he died and he gave his life for us. Regardless of how our response would be, he died and he gave his life for us. Okay, take my and learn from me, the self-sacrifice. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. You need to be gentle and lowly of heart. Humble. Learn from me, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. Your emotions won't be going crazy. Your mind won't be cluttered, all those sort of things. Because you're just like, Lord, I cannot. I cannot. I do those often. Thinking about Peter Maritzburg, I'm the type of person, when I think about all these things we need to do, then I'm just like, plans just come. All these ideas come. We're going to have a sports day. We're going to go, like, walk around town, and we're going to evangelize the taxi drivers. I'll watch everybody else do it, and I'll pray for them from the hill. You know, I've got all these plans, and at one point, I just felt God lay my spirit. Why? Why are you going so crazy with all these plans? Relax. Chill. I've planned something for you there. When you get there, you will know as you take those steps. You will know. You'll know what you need to do. Okay, so rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Many of you are carrying burdens that are way too heavy for you. Because you're dragging a yoke. You're working with a yoke that God never intended for you to work with. So you're fatigued. You're tired. You're irritated with family members. Irritated with your wife. Your friendships have gone down the toilet. You're irritated with all these things because you're carrying a burden you were never meant to carry. Your children... You know, my wife and myself, especially now in this time, we do a lot of repenting right now, is you get so frustrated with your kids. You get so frustrated with your loved ones all the time because it just feels like everything is just adding to your stress and your burden. It's because you're not carrying a burden that you're meant to carry. You're not carrying a weight that any human can carry that you should be carrying. I don't know if what I said just made sense. I think I lost my train of thought there. But you shouldn't be carrying it. Okay, so, Brian, you can come up so long, maybe you are, Ben, guys. So when you think of your year, some of you already have made your plans and you're already stressing about the year. And there's good to be things that you are earnestly praying about. In other words, there are things that are there that are highlighted when you look ahead. But your response, when you hold on to it, and you're like, okay, I will wrestle this thing into submission, I will get victory over this, will be stress, will be a burden. The moment you look ahead and you see those potential obstacles, if your wrestle is with God, it's a whole different story. If you look back at 2015 and all you had was obstacles, you're wrestling with the wrong thing. If you're sitting here now and you're like, I can't go on anymore. I'm too tired. If this year is like it was last year, I don't know what I'll do. many of us come to this point at the beginning of the year, and we have these things that we're, how do I respond to this? Don't respond to it. Your response is go to the Father. Say, my Father, oh, I'm losing balance. My legs are getting weak. Grab on. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to finish this journey. Because He is always there. If you're sitting here and you know you've had that moment where you said, Lord, I surrender all. I put my faith and my trust in You, and I want to have that new life. I want to become that babe again. I've walked with understanding and with wisdom, but right now I want that new birth experience. So that I can open my eyes for the first time and see my daddy. Grab his finger, suck on his finger, you know, burp, do all the gross things that kids do, but get that new birth experience. Poop in my nappy, knowing he'll clean it. You know, make a mess all over the place and He will come and He will clean it. Because He's more concerned than I can carry on walking, that my knees aren't bleeding the whole time because I'm crawling on these knees that are broken from my first fall, but I've just never been able to stand up again. But I keep crawling because I will get to that place of hope, that pillar right there, and I will see it and I will connect with it. And when I get there, it'll be better. But then you get there and it crumbles as soon as you touch it. Because it was never there to begin with. That hope, that rest that you thought was, it was never there. It was an oasis. It was fake. It was a mirage. But when you fall, and we all, whether we've fallen and we know of a specific moment or just gradually over time our legs have gotten weaker, and you recognize it, and you know, I'm starting to lose it. It's somewhere along the line, all of a sudden, You've made that connection with the Father, and you're starting to walk. I'm going to ask you to stand, because I want to pray for us quickly this morning before I end off my portion. But I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes and weigh up your faith goals, that which you hope for. I want to look at those things, and I want you to put it on a scale of everything I'm putting into it and working for. You know, and that which you're working for it's God given. God's blessed you with it. But have you put that thing on a scale on one side, and then you're trying to balance and make it work by you standing on the other side on your own? And here's the thing: that other thing will always outweigh you. It'll just increase your stress. The moment you do that, and you look, okay, there's the goal, and here's God. Are you going to walk towards the goal, or are you going to walk towards God? So as you just thinking through all the things you had planned for the year, all the things you wanted to get right, and even now possibly there are things that have let you down and you've had to readjust your sights, take a different path because this path has felt like it's closed and it's crumbling. If you look again at those things, just look at all those things that you know you didn't bring God into the equation. You didn't bring your Savior, you didn't bring your paraclete, your helper. He didn't bring the Holy Spirit along with you. All those things. And just invite Him in again. Invite Him into the picture. Just say, Holy Spirit, I invite You to come into this picture. Lord, I take the weight of the world that I've been trying to carry for my family and my responsibilities, where the world has said, okay, it's time for you to grow up. You're not a man if you don't take responsibility for your actions. And you've left all those childlike things away, and you think you've left the childish things behind, but you've actually just stepped into that place of being even more childish, because it all depends on you and you have all the answers. In fact, you fight with God because He hasn't done things the way you want Him to do it. Just like a child. Becoming childlike and truly childlike is actually the sign of maturity, which is a bit an upside down principle which the kingdom is famous for. But holding on to your childishness of, Lord, it's Your fault, that's immaturity. And God wants to cleanse us of all unrighteousness so that we can walk with the freedom, as we sang this morning, that is in His house, in His family, in His kingdom. As the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us and gives us a new beating heart, a heart that beats to the rhythm of eternity. And as we shed these tents one day and these physical forms fall away, that heart will continue beating into eternity. So I'm going to give two invitations, and I know they're going to pray for us afterwards or whenever, or just some of you just want to go home. But I just invite you just to allow this moment just to sing, because it's a long year ahead of us. And I can tell you now, it's always going to go worse. Even if things start seeming like they're getting better technically in relation to where it could be, where it should be, it's always going to get worse. So it is doom and gloom looking at from a human point of view. But if you're standing here and you're just tired, the year hasn't even really started, but you're like, I'm not excited about this year at all. Or you're sitting here and you think hearing all the stuff in the news or what the government's doing and the water issues and the petrol price, which at some stage is going to skyrocket again during the year, the list is endless. I'm going to ask you, and this is where the faith starts. God wants to heal you. God wants to take that burden off your shoulder, and he wants to equip you. It's not a one-time deal. You don't get to come for a prayer and then it's done and it's over. Yes, the prayer of your brothers and the other saints here, obviously it helps to just make it a realization and ask God's blessing on you. But he wants to equip you this morning to have victory over these things, victory over the darkness. Because the more you look ahead, the more you see these things, the more it's like this shroud is just coming in. And you can't see anything, let alone see God. All you can see and all you can think about, you can't sleep because you're thinking about this one thing constantly. Two things, three things. Relationships that have fallen apart. Relationships that you know you've actually stuffed up. And God wants you to go back, but you can't. I'm going to ask you right now, if that is you, I'm going to ask you just to come to the front. Take this and we want to pray with you. We want to stand in faith. Even if we don't pray with you this morning, just that you come do business with God. Yeah? You say, Lord, that is me. You know what's going on in my mind. You know what's going on in my, you know, in my office. All those sort of things. You know how I'm feeling. And the stress is even putting pressure on my marriage. I'm in a relationship with my children. I have thoughts of, yes, so wouldn't it be better just to not have them? And that's ungodly, and that's from the pit of hell. So that is you, while everybody's eyes is closed and every believer is busy praying. I'm going to ask you just to come do business with the Lord here. Come do business. It's time. It's time. No more. To hear no more. It is time to do business with the Lord and say, Lord, I can't. I so badly want to be able to do this on my own. I so badly want to prove myself to you. Prove myself to my own parents. Prove myself to the world that I have significance. And God is saying, I've already proved you on the cross. I've already given you significance. I've given you identity. Stop it. I love you. Let me just love you. Let me just love you. All your mistakes you've done, all the mistakes you feel that you're still going to make because it's like this car is going out of control and you can't hold onto the steering wheel. Let go of the steering wheel. Let that car crash. You're in the wrong car to begin with. It's not your car to steer to begin with. There's more people that need to do business with the Lord. And I'm going to hand over to Heinrich in a second. Come do that business. All the arguments, every fight, every disagreement you've been in, that's actually exalted itself against the name of Jesus Christ in your life. It's hindering your ability to connect with God. It's hindering your ability to feel sanctified, coming into His presence. Come lay that at His feet. Let go of those things and grab onto your Savior. And then in one more group, if you're here and everybody's eyes closed, this is a big deal, this one. You're standing and you know you've never relinquished control, surrendered to Jesus Christ. You've never placed your faith and trust wholly and completely into Jesus Christ. So everything I'm saying now, you know it's impossible for you. There's like this brick wall in front of you, and that brick wall is yourself. You need to die to yourself. You need to say no more. Lord, I relinquish control. I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God. I believe, Jesus, that you have life in your hand, and I want to grasp that from you. I want to be born again. I want this new life. If that is you, just where you are, and I'm not going to call you to the front. If that is you, I'm going to ask you just where you are today. Just raise your hand. Just say, Lord, this is me. As a sign of surrender, just say, Lord, that is me. I need you in my life. I need to know that you are real. I want to experience this living water that everybody talks about. Okay, thank you. You can drop your hand if you've raised your hand. Is there anybody else? Just quickly, you can put it up and then you put it down again. Anybody else? Maybe you need to do it again. I don't like making recommitment things, but you'll know if you need to do it again. Anybody else? Okay, I'll take it. Everybody that's up here needs to be here, and they are here. I'm going to hand it over to Heinrich now, but if you want to speak, you need prayer, specifically in this area or anything. Maybe there's healing that you need. Maybe there's healing and So anybody here, your right knee is giving you issues? Specifically your right knee. Okay, gotcha. Your right knee. Okay, anybody else, you need healing in any specific place? If you need healing, please just step to the front. Let us trust and put our faith in God. Faith in God transcends the impossible. If we're not serving a God of the impossible, then we might as well be serving a statue. Might as well be serving something and worshiping something that is of our own creation, but we're not. We're serving a God that's real, that's alive. Amen.
Melanie just has a word for us.
Yeah, while Kurt was preaching, I just sense this thing of when a child normally do something good, his parents give him a sweetie or say, good, my child, you, whatever. But the Lord just wanted to challenge us this morning, and I feel this is a word for all of us, that we have to give and to serve sacrificially and not always expecting something in return. So I just wanted to challenge you this morning of really just serving and giving without always expecting something in return. It's actually a word that God gave me in December or in the beginning of this year. Are you willing to serve and to sacrifice without expecting something back or in return always?
Okay, I'm just going to pray. If you're standing in front, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you just to repeat after me. All this, there's nothing spooky in the fact that you have to follow me. It's just, for some of you, it might just make it easier. But I'm going to pray, and you can just follow me, and then afterwards we'll pray to you individually, and you can add in your own stuff or whatever it is that you know specifically you need to let go of. And then we'll pray with you in front here. But if you stand at the back, please pray with us. We are family and we do this together. We carry each other's burdens. We shoulder each other's burdens. We carry each other's weights. We support each other through thick and thin because we got the same blood running through our veins, the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you're in front here, please just close your eyes or whatever. Get on your knees, however you want to respond. But Lord Jesus, I come before you again this morning and recognize you as the author and finisher of my faith. I've looked ahead at this year. I've looked at my life. And I've measured everything that needs to be done according to my abilities. And I stand here this morning realizing that I fall short on every level. My faith isn't strong enough. My hope is fading. And I come to you, Lord Jesus, and I ask for a fresh infilling of your life, of your hope. And I give to you, Lord, the reins of this life. And I say, lead me, Lord. My legs are tired. My arms are tired of wrestling. And I cannot win, Lord. I so badly want to make you proud, Lord. Make my relations, my family proud. But I say here, Lord, that I cannot do it without you. Holy Spirit, please, come fill me. Fill my mind with thoughts of my beautiful Savior. Replace every fear with your life, with your hope, a picture of your grace. So Lord, I lay it all down. I lay this year down, the year that follows down. I lay my whole life down at your feet. And I say, have your way, Lord. Lord, it is difficult for me at times to let go. So I ask you, Lord, help me to let go. Thank you that you have not left me an orphan. But I can stand here being a child of the Most High. Amen. I'm going to hand over to Heinrich, and he'll close and do whatever needs to be done. But we'll still pray with you in front here. If you need healing specifically, also let us pray with you. Amen.